You're listening to The Broker's Terminal, a Mass Effect podcast. On this episode of The Broker's Terminal, Season 1, Episode 6, we talk with Ash Sevilla about the Mass Effect community and the role he has in bringing everyone involved together. Thank you for listening. This is The Broker's Terminal, a Mass Effect podcast. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome. Welcome. It is
hello.
It is Rachel here with Lexi, of course.
Here for am I supposed to say
this? No, you're not. With Lexi's
I'm
here.
I'm out of practice.
No, it's fine. And Ash is also here, our guest tonight.
Hi.
No, it's fine. I'm used to awkward silences. It's great.
Yeah.
It's cool. So yeah. So Lexi, Ash, how are you this fine recording session?
Lexi, I'll let you go first.
All right. Well, I'm good. Excited for more Mass Effect things to chat about because we never can never stop talking about it. So I'm glad we're here.
I feel the same.
Yeah, I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for having me. I listen to your shows, and I think you guys are really fantastic, and you have a lot of love for the subject material. So I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.
And thank you for listening. That's really awesome.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's cool. We're slowly getting in the groove. We had our first guest on our most recent episode, and then we have a second episode coming in a couple weeks with our second guest. So we're really getting in the groove here. It's really, really fun. So yeah.
It is. Podcasting's fun. It's super therapeutic and relaxing. And if you have the right co-host, it becomes like a weekly weekly therapy session where you get to talk about stuff that you love. There's nothing better than doing it if you enjoy doing it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I would say that Lexi and I certainly, I think in every episode, have mentioned that like we play other video games and talk about Mass Effect anyway. And that was when we decided like we should probably just record this stupidity. And here we are.
There you go. That's how the best shows start. You just record natural conversations about stuff you love.
Absolutely.
Conversations, rants, you know, that kind of thing. It's all good.
Yeah. I think
being productive about it, I think, has been our go-to so far, but it's been a lot of fun. I mean,
it really is. And you meet such amazing people along the way. I did a show for way too long, about 10 years. And I met some of my best friends doing the show. You know, guests that come on and paths that, you know, you just cross paths with people as you kind of go along your adventures, and it becomes a great conversation starter. So you guys are in for a fun and wild ride.
We cannot wait. And I was going to say, Lexi, when I think of a productive rant, I think of you. You have nailed
well, I'm glad that's my reputation.
Yeah, you've nailed that science, I think. Anyway,
well, it comes with being an academic, I think. I think that's where it comes from at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. You know. Absolutely.
You learn to argue a lot.
Yeah, and how, for sure. So Ash, the first thing, you know, I think we'd like to start with is just so that our listeners can get an idea of who you are, what you do, and your relationship with Mass Effect.
Sure. I'll try and give the abridged version, I guess. So my day job is I'm a community manager in the game space. So right now I'm working on an indie game called Hades Star, another indie game called Battleship Apollo, which actually is co-developed by some BioWare guys that are no longer at BioWare. So there's a little bit of a link there. In the past, I've worked on other games like Titanfall Assault and Dungeons & Dragons, Sword Coast Legends, and Dominations, and a couple other games. So mainly working in community. Prior to that, working in games, I was a history teacher, and I taught what did I teach? Taught 10th and 11th grade psychology and world history for a while. And while I was doing that, I was actually co-producing and co-hosting a podcast called Rated NA, which is for nerdappropriate.com. And we did that for close to 10 years.
Wow.
And that sort of paved the way, that paved the way for a lot of other really cool opportunities. I probably wouldn't have been able to work in games had I not been working on Nerd Appropriate. So along the way, I interviewed a lot of really fun folks from different game studios, a lot of voice actors, and a lot of, you know, game producers and game makers and actors, and honestly, it was just an excuse to talk to people that I admired.
Sure. I fully understand.
Yeah. I mean, it was really very selfish. I would reach out to people that I just really wanted to have a conversation with, and we would record it and then force other people to listen to it. But we did that for quite some time, and it, you know, it changed my life. It made me a little bit more brave. It allowed me to try new things that I wouldn't have tried before. And like I said, prior to you guys hitting record, like I met a lot of really fantastic people that ended up becoming big, you know, supporters and friends of mine along the way. So it was really a really wonderful, you know, opportunity for me to work on Rated NA and Nerd Appropriate for such a long time. And then recently last year during the pandemic, I was outside pushing my kid on the swing, and I knew Courtney Taylor, who plays Jack in Mass Effect. She has a site called Nerds Vote, which was to register people to vote prior to the election. So it was a nonpartisan voter registration initiative to help people really, you know, get out to the polls. And I wanted to do something to help out because I was a little freaked out about the election at the time. I think it was like, I don't know, I think it was August, September. And I was just like, ah, I got to help out in some capacity. What can I do? So I reached out to Courtney and I was like, hey, Courtney, can I try and put together a Mass Effect reunion just to like, you know, to help out Nerds Vote? And also because I thought I could pull it off. The technology was finally there where you could have like 10 people in a room at the same time and the levels would be okay. And for a while that wasn't really an option. You know, prior to Zoom really being as functional as it is, it was really hard to get 10 people on Skype and have it not sound like total. Can you swear here?
Yes, you can.
Yeah. So it would sound like total shit, right? Because everyone would just,
yeah.
But now I think people's tech levels have finally caught up. So getting 10 people on Zoom was actually a possibility.
Sure.
So I reached out to Courtney and she said, yeah, go for it. And so then I just started reaching out to a lot of people that I had on the show in the past. And eventually it became a little bit of a Mass Effect reunion to support Nerds Vote. And the funny thing is I reached out to Jennifer Hale, who I had talked to a bunch of times in the past and who I'm a huge fan of, who's just like a wonderful human being. And I said, hey, I'm putting together this, you know, this Mass Effect reunion to help out Nerds Vote. And she says, well, she's like, I'm going to try and do one for N7 Day. And I was like, okay, that's cool. And so we did our Nerds Vote one. And then like a couple weeks went by and she reached out and asked me to do the N7 Day one, mm-hmm. to moderate that and kind of help co-produce that. And she did most of the heavy lifting. Most of those were Jen, just because Jen knows everybody and she's so great at pulling people together and accomplishing great things. So I helped out with those and ended up kind of getting roped into a bunch of little future Mass Effect projects on the web. And it's been really wonderful. I mean, like the one that we had for the remaster, mm-hmm. I think we had 20 people. Mm-hmm. And that was the biggest thing I had ever moderated or hosted, was just getting, you know, members of the development team, the writing staff, and of course, tons of the voice cast were there. And that was mildly intimidating.
I bet.
I was intimidated watching it. I was like, how is he doing that?
The logistics of it were, I mean, I don't know if you want me to get to the nuts and bolts, but it was a lot of, so, I mean, one of the things that I did, and I don't know if your listeners have any interest in this at all, but one of the things I love to do is to really gather a lot of questions from the community, because it gives mm-hmm. interviews heart if you can do it. So I gathered up a couple hundred questions for a few weeks prior to these reunions. And I kind of I put them in an order that I think will allow the conversation to flow. And I try and make sure that everybody that's there has at least one question specifically directed toward them. And then I just kind of let it flow naturally. But my doc, I'll send you guys the doc if you want to see it. It's like 20 pages of like questions and information. It's like way over prepped for an event like that. But you know, when you put these things together, the last thing you want to do is get on with 20 people in front of I don't know how many people and have dead air and not know what you're doing. But yeah, I mean, that was the last big thing I did. I don't know, honestly, what's going on with N7 Day this year, but I'm sure there will be something special coming up.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I know the last one was really incredible to see them all, like almost everybody, you know, come together still after so long. And that was before there was the rumor about the, maybe not the rumor, but that was before the Legendary Edition announcement. So that was,
that was the day they announced it, actually.
Oh, that's right.
And then they did like the trailer was later in February.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. God, it's
no,
been
you're
so
good.
Long.
I know. I know.
Almost a year. Yep. Yeah. No, that's. Yeah, I think that would be a great doc to see, especially just because, you know, as you said, you're basically micromanaging 20 people and to try and keep things going in an effective fashion. I mean, it's one thing when we have, you know, the two of us here and one guest, but I could only imagine trying to do a conversation like that without, you know, being in person, first of all, and then second of all, you know, trying to make sure that it's all
right
working and people are getting a chance to talk and...
Yeah, I mean, it was tricky. I mean, teaching definitely, it was the ultimate trial by fire for that sort of job, though, you know, getting up and talking in front of that many people and trying to keep people engaged. It's definitely the same skill set, but, you know, it's a little different. You don't have, like, the masses of the internet that would come down on you if you did a terrible job, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So well, I was lucky that it came out okay, because it was I didn't get too much hate for it, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
I used to be, when I was in grad school, I TA'd for a bit there, but it's not quite the same when you have a little bit of power over people, but when you're on equal footing, it's like, ah, we're all the same here. So, you know.
Yeah, well, true. I think that your ability to I know that you said that Jen helped with bringing a lot of the actors and the devs together, but certainly like your ability to moderate and, you know, be the voice a little bit of the fans, I think, and the community, because that's kind of what this episode's about, is just like the community of Mass Effect. It says a lot about your ability to A, do your job. I'll put that bluntly, but two, like it also, what did I say? A and then two, and then B, it also says a lot about just your love for what you do, but also your love for Mass Effect. And I think that you, if I remember correctly, it's been a long year, but I do think that you say that you're like, I'm also a fan of Mass Effect. And I think certainly from where I'm sitting, I'm pretty easy to please, but certainly from where I'm sitting, it certainly seems like that. It seems like you're, it's like a genuine passion to be doing what you're doing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So I have loved Mass Effect for forever, and I still consider Mass Effect 2 probably in my top three games of all time is Mass Effect 2 for sure.
Yeah.
I think that is as close to a perfect game as you can really get, in my opinion. And you know, and over the years, like you said, it's all about community. We met so many wonderful just members of the Mass Effect community going to conventions and such over, you know, a 10-year span, you know, artists and creatives and streamers and all sorts of people that have so much passion for the IP. I'm one of them. I just absolutely love it. And getting to know some of the people that made the game and getting to know the people that voiced the characters and such was such a nice treat. And you know, as I met them all, I realized that they're all very special too. I mean, they're just such loving, giving, wonderful people. Like the voice cast, I can't even explain to you guys how cool they really are just behind the scenes. They're just like the nicest people, and they're all doing stuff to like help out humanity on the side, just like their characters, like rescuing animals and getting people to vote and helping people out with, you know, mental illness. And I mean, it's just like everyone is doing stuff to make the world better. And then they also just happen to voice cool characters in a game that I love. So yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I will say I love following Jennifer Hale on social media, even when she just puts out like little reassurance. Like, I think she's on TikTok now. Even when she just puts out like little reassurance videos, it's just like I know her voice, like obviously she does a slightly different change to her normal speaking voice for Shepard, but they're similar enough, like her regular speaking voice and Shepard's voice are close enough that sometimes you can just imagine it's Shepard saying it to you, which is just also kind of nice. So thank you, Jennifer, for that.
Yeah,
on the crappy days, I'll say that. But yeah, it's really nice just to see that generally speaking, the people on the cast are decent people and do stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, they're great. Yeah, quick shameless plug. She just recently started a Patreon. I help out there sometimes with some moderation stuff. But it is like, so they have a private Discord if you become a Patreon member for Jennifer Hale. and it's like the nicest group of Mass Effect fans. We're like sharing, we're sharing recipes and like screenshots. It's like the most wholesome. It's like completely ridiculous. So if you really just want to kind of get in with like a nice group of people, check out her Patreon, and she does like monthly readings and all sorts of fun stuff there too. Yeah, if you're into Jennifer Hale and all the kind stuff she's doing, definitely check that out.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah.
So. I was going to say, just kind of, not really shifting gears, but our next sort of topic was going to ask you, so like, how did you get into the industry to really begin with? Like what?
So my story is a little odd. I told you guys I was teaching, and a friend of mine, I mean, there's a little nepotism here. I had known one of my friends was an art director, and I grew up with, his name is Chris, and I grew up with him. Down in South Florida, and we were like both little punk rock kids running around town causing trouble and like, you know, teenager stuff. But we always stayed in touch our whole lives, and he knew that I had been doing the podcast. And at that time when I broke into the industry, I think our podcast had already been going for 3 or 4 years, and we had done some pretty cool stuff already. Like we had worked with EA a little bit and recorded some of the BioWare panels. And we had attended a lot of conventions as press and stuff like that. So we were not exactly like super green anymore. We had like a tiny little bit of clout at that point. But not, I mean, like gaining money from podcasts is nearly impossible. So it wasn't about like three of us were not about to quit our day jobs and live off the podcast burrito money. so that wasn't going to happen. But it just so happened that they were developing a Dungeons & Dragons title in Central Florida. And there weren't a ton of people with industry know-how in Central Florida at the time that really had kind of experience working and doing the things that I was doing. So I interviewed for a position as community manager for Dungeons & Dragons Sword Coast Legends at a studio called Endspace that's no longer there anymore. And I did not think I was going to get it in any capacity because I had kind of worked my way up to my dream teaching job. Like I had a really nice classroom. I was teaching like AP World History and psychology. And like, you know, I had like a tie on and I'm like, this is my life. And then, I got this, they said, okay, well, you know, we'll pay you to come talk about Dungeons and Dragons. And I was like, oh, I guess I'll quit teaching. So I told my wife and my family, they kind of looked at me like, are you sure this is the... And I was like, yeah, this will be great. So it turned out to be great. You know, lots of ups and downs in the video games industry. You know, layoffs and crunch time and all that wonderful stuff you hear about. That's all a reality if you work in games. But the fact that you get to collaborate on these creative works and actually help in any capacity build something that people enjoy has always been just a wonderful thing for me. So the fact that I get to contribute and help build something that makes people happy is just awesome.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's super great. And I know before we recorded a little behind the scene action, I had mentioned that, you know, you and I have communicated through Twitter and realized we had a similar interest in psychology and helping professions. And it was just, we're very similar. I didn't grow up in South Florida, but I am in Florida. So we're like living parallel lives, Ash.
That was strange. Where are
I don't mind. No, that's off, okay. No, here. I don't mind saying it. I live in a big area. I live in Tampa area.
Okay. I'm Orlando. So you're like, only
okay. Yeah. We're very
away.
Close. That's awesome.
I lived in Tampa for a couple years for school, actually.
Oh, very nice. Did you go to the university around here?
I did for a little while I left.
Okay. Fair. I graduated from there. But that's really cool. My parents went there. I'm kind of like, I was like bred to go there.
What's the big street there? Bruce B. Downs.
Still there.
I lived right off of that.
That's so funny. That's amazing. It's still under construction. It'll never not be under construction. For those of you who have no idea what we're talking about, look it up. Lexi's like Googling right now. I forgot where I had seen that you wrote I think I saw a tweet that you were like, why is it so disgusting in Florida, right? Yeah. it's usually disgusting, but it's more disgusting this year. And I was like, oh, he lives in Florida. That's super neat.
Yeah. Every once in a while, the disdain for Florida will kind of leak out. Normally I kind of keep where I live under wraps just because like people, when they hear you live in Florida, people are like, why? And you're like, Well, there's reasons.
Well, I mean, it's not like a terrible place to live. No, right it's now, not. It's not phenomenal. Yeah. But like, it's usually not bad. We have our moments. The natives aren't so bad. It's all you snowbirds. For those of you listening, it's all you guys. Listen, I'm just saying.
Listen.
I'm just saying. But anyway, yeah. So I felt very inspired, like after our conversation, obviously, because since then I started this podcast. But I had been doing some content creation. I have a stream on Twitch, and I make some YouTube videos here and there. So it was just like really nice to hear, like, you know, it's not out of reach. You can totally, like, I think you even said, like, you just sometimes you just got to take the leap and see what happens.
Well, I'm glad I could push you in any direction, but yeah, it's, I mean, absolutely. For anyone listening that is curious about you know, creating content or doing what you love, I'll tell one quick story. I did not think that working in games or even starting a podcast or anything like that was even a remote possibility when I first did it. I used to watch G4 a lot. I don't know if anybody even remembers G4.
Oh, yeah.
Actually,
yeah,
so I'm going to interject for just a second. Our guest, sure. Who will be the week before you for our listeners, is a producer for G4.
Oh, there you go.
So these listeners will know what G4 is.
There you go. So I was a big G4 fan back in the day. And I went to a panel at Comic-Con, and I was just an attendee. And G4 had this panel, and they had some really great advice for people wanting to create content. And I ended up running into, at the time, I think she was a producer there, Abby Heppy, who's at Media Molecule now. And I ran into Abby on the Comic-Con show floor, and I was like, I love G4. I just started geeking out because, you know, I thought Abby was cool, and I thought what she was doing was cool. I thought G4 was cool. And I remember Abby just looked at me, and she's like, why aren't you just doing it? And I was like, what do you mean? Why am I not doing it? Why am I not doing what? She's like, just start doing what we're doing and have fun doing it. There's no barrier to entry anymore for creating content or chasing your dreams, really. And it was a great conversation, and I really took it to heart. And then the next, I think 2 weeks after we came back from Comic-Con, we started recording our show and having fun doing it. And it really, you know, really did change my life. So if you're thinking, any listeners are thinking of doing a thing, just start doing a thing. It doesn't even matter if anybody listens to it or anyone enjoys it. If you're enjoying it and you're having fun with it, eventually other people will too, because they'll sort of latch onto your enthusiasm and your love for it. So,
yeah, well said, beautifully done. That's it. That's the cast. No, I'm just kidding. No, really, really, really good. And, you know, people who I've met along the way, you know, just like years ago, who I would watch stream and felt motivated by, have that's the common theme, is like, it doesn't matter. People who enjoy you and enjoy what you're creating, they, you know, they will come. Not to quote like the greatest baseball movie of all time, but if you build it, they will come. And it's true. It's true.
For those of you, Kevin Costner.
Yeah, I was gonna say, for those of you who don't know, it's Field of Dreams. But yeah, so I know that you have already a little bit, which is totally fine, talked about putting together the panels, which were just, Lexi and I certainly are just big fangirls of.
Oh, thank you so much.
No problem. But do you have any like anecdotes or like wishes for guests for future panels that you, I realize maybe you don't know if you're hosting any, but that you could host like in the same capacity, just your Mass Effect, like your inner fan professional dreams for panels and things like that.
Oh man. So, golly. So I don't know what, like I said, I don't know if I'm going to be hosting them in the future or what's going on. Usually Jennifer's the one who kind of, you know, green lights everything. So I haven't started doing any legwork on the next one. I have some ideas for the next one that I might hint at, near the end of this. We'll see.
Sure.
But, in terms of guests and such, I would love for everyone to come back. Who did we miss?
Can Lexi and I, for a moment, just tell you, Yvonne. Yes. Mm-hmm. I had tweeted you, is Yvonne coming? And you were like, I hope so.
Oh yeah. Yvonne. Yeah.
I
I have, okay. So I tried to get her on my show when she was on Chuck.
Sure, which makes sense. So, yeah,
which was I've been a fan of hers for forever. I would mm-hmm. absolutely love to have her on, and I don't know if there's any truth to this, but I heard she had like some sort of I don't want to say issue with the community, but had like a bad experience.
We've talked about it.
Yeah, we've mentioned it before on previous podcasts. Yeah. So as you may have deduced, Rach and I are both big fans of Miranda Lawson's character, despite the sexualization that happened in game. But then because of that, a lot of fan base therefore went in on like sexualizing Yvonne. There's I'll have to find it on YouTube, but there was an interview where, you know, she's talking about Chuck and stuff, and the interviewer I can't remember it, I'll have to find it, but I know they were sitting like in a bar, but anyway, and he asked her like about her experience with Mass Effect 2, and there was just this look on her face, like very briefly mm-hmm. And she mentioned talking about it, and that, you know, and I'm trying to remember it word for word, but I remember she said something along the lines of like, yeah, it's my face and my voice, but it's not my body. And that haunts me to this day, because it's so unfortunate that, yes, you know, there are things that BioWare should have done, and they did rectify some of it in the Legendary Edition, you know, getting rid of the infamous butt shots. But, you know, the damage has been done, I think, in that regard. Like, and I'm just speculating. I don't know her personally, obviously. Sure. But I feel, you know, I can't blame her. You know, if you go to a convention and some creepy dude comes up to you, like, being weird, like, that's not going to make you really inclined to want to go to another one, you know? And I feel for her. But I hope that, you know, I mean, Rach and I keep trying to commute, you know, with tweets and stuff, just saying, like, there's those of us who love Miranda's character and, you know, the voice acting and everything. It's right. Like, we appreciate you.
I loved Miranda. I thought she was a fantastic character. Mm-hmm. I loved the fact that she was so tragic for reasons you wouldn't think. Absolutely. That she would be. I mean, imagine just being perfect and that being your flaw. I mean, that's such an amazing quirk, right? Like, I'm amazing. You're like, I'm so amazing that it kind of hurts my own feelings.
and also, like, just her development from the series, like, with Shepard, like, basically, you know, telling her, like, she's, like, second in command of this great big organization, and then by the end of it, with Shepard, like, telling her boss to go to hell. Like,
right.
And then all of a sudden realizing, like, oh, shit. Okay. Now I'm on the run from my employer, but, you know, and there's a intergalactic war going on, but I'm living my own life, my own best life.
Can you imagine writing? When I started working on Sword Coast Legends, one of the guys I worked with, Jay Turner, was one of the writers on Mass Effect 2. He wrote like a lot of Zaid, I think some Kasumi. And when I found out that he was one of the writers, I drooled all over him and like ran around him like a crazy person. And he was like the coolest. Jay Turner is the coolest guy. He's such a nice, humble guy. And he just told me all about the writing process of Mass Effect and just how incredibly like in depth it was. And like, as someone who's tried to write branching dialogue myself, it's insane. Oh, like, absolutely. The amount of work that goes into it. That's why, you know, when you see games like this with, and I don't think any game since the BioWare games has really done multiple titles with choices that kind of reverberate throughout the entire respective trilogies, because when they were done making them, we're like, well, we can't ever do this. It's fucking crazy. And nobody wanted to go down that road again. But very, very challenging writing and just so brilliant. I mean, and everyone has a different, you know, every player has a different story to tell as well, which is just wild.
Yeah. And that experience, it's interesting, right? Like Lexi and I, as we've said, could just like talk about this game for hours and hours, but we, even as very, like, Lexi and I are very similar humans, but we have very different experiences in Mass Effect. Like, our Shepherds are completely different. Like, our romance, I guess who we romanced first was the same, but like our preferred romance now is completely different. Yeah. And, but we still are able to come together and appreciate it. And to go back to when you were talking about the list of questions that you, compiled, which, full disclosure, I submitted one. It was for Ali Hillis, for sure. It's so beautiful, truly. That's like the word that comes to mind, to think about how many different experiences people have, but we still, most of us are still lovely, nerdy fans who just want to come together and understand each other on, on like even ground. And so that's why the Mass Effect community is unlike any community. And I'm part of a lot of gaming communities. I've played a lot of games, and I know Lexi has too. But I've never experienced a community quite like Mass Effect.
It's incredibly special. I remember being at Comic-Con one year, and BioWare used to do, I don't know if you guys ever got an opportunity to check out the BioWare bases when they were around at conventions. But they
Unfortunately.
Yeah, me neither.
well they used to like they the marketing and community teams used to put these BioWare bases together to promote the games, and they would have like days of programming, like usually on site at an event like a Comic-Con or a PAX or wherever they might be. But they had one year prior to the release of Mass Effect 3, where they had the voice actors doing signings, and they had like all the like a art contest, and it was at a Hilton, and it was just like 3 days of like BioWare fans. It was essentially like your Twitter feed in the meat space, like all actually hanging out. So it was crazy, and the voice actors were all there, and it was such a loving, warm, and just incredibly inclusive and fun environment for everyone to be a part of. And there's always, there's always a dark side to every community,
Sure.
especially when things go in a particular direction that some people may disagree with. But for the most part, it was an incredibly positive experience. And people that were, at that event, you would see at future events. So it became almost like a big family for a while.
That's really cool. And I know from on like a from a fan level, having not, been as, well, not as involved, but involved the way you were. And Lexi and I have mentioned this on the podcast before, but we only know each other through being Mass Effect fans. We met probably about 8 years ago, just like being fangirls. After all this time, Lexi's one of my best friends. Like we just connect on so many levels, and it's Mass Effect that brought us together. And there's still new people I'm meeting through the Mass Effect community. Some people I've met for they've only played Mass Effect for the first time with the release of the Legendary Edition. Some people I've met, just recently, but they've been fans for as long as, we've been fans. And I think one of the things we said in a recent episode was like Mass Effect 1, Lexi said it beautifully, was just like has this like staying power, like even though it was recently remastered and is like better to play, it just like that, just like the feeling of playing Mass Effect 1 just sticks with you. There's nothing like it. And knowing that there's new people who get to experience that for the first time in the beautiful Legendary
Absolutely.
Edition is like, it literally like makes me emotional that people get to continue to experience this beautiful story.
Oh yeah, I agree.
Exactly.
I agree 110%. I mean, the thing about Mass Effect 1 that gets you right out of the gate is they did such a beautiful job crafting the world, and they just kind of throw you into the middle of it. And
Correct.
it has this beautiful, the art direction is beautiful, and the music is fantastic. And even though now, even with the remaster, it kind of looks a little bit dated, you still kind of get this feeling that you're just a little part of something that's absolutely, oh God, I don't want to say massive, but absolutely colossal. you're just you're witnessing this like this giant. You're part of a space epic within the first 5 minutes of that game.
And I think there is just so much to like explore. Like, I mean, you can do the main plot line in I think like 7, 8 hours if you just rush through all the missions. But then there were so many side quests and like the exploring with the Mako. I know people love to complain about it, and I've talked about it before, but I get so much joy just from trying to get that thing over 90 degree angles. And just finding like the little hidden things, and there was like it's a space epic, and there was a lot of little hidden gems in there, some elements of sci-fi horror, big inspiration from Aliens, which is my favorite sci-fi movie series.
That's my favorite sci-fi
Nice. Look
movie
at this
series.
trio here. We were meant to
Aliens is, I think
down the
Aliens
track.
might be the best film of all time. That's near the top of my list. There's the whole Alien versus Aliens argument, but I'm a Cameron fan, so
Fair enough.
Aliens, yeah.
Yeah, I just love Ellen Ripley. I and I think there was some inspo in Shepard. I mean, obviously Shepard was written, I feel like Male Shep was written first, but not written differently. I just mean written with him in mind. But even so, I think there's some moments with maybe even Jennifer Hale's voice direction that I'm like, that reminds me of Ripley. I love it. But yeah, it's there's so many little references here and there. I mean, obviously the Rachni are very much like xenomorphs, but mm-hmm. There's just so many other little things. And I recently, this past year and this year, got into Star Trek for the first time. I started with Voyager because of a friend, and also Kate Mulgrew, who I adore. And then I watched Deep Space Nine, and eventually I'm going to watch Enterprise and The Next Generation eventually. But, you know, it's just nice to kind of see how there's little things here and there that remind you of that. And I'm trying to remember, I feel like it was someone in your community, Rach, that said it, that a Mass Effect game kind of plays out like a Star Trek season, like a season of Star Trek.
My guess was that it was Tristan, just based on that.
I want to say it was either Tristan or Truth, but I don't know if Truth is correct.
It could have been either. I think it's Truth. Anyway, he's a Trekkie.
One of those two definitely said it, that it played out in like an arc of Star Trek. And now that I've watched Star Trek, I'm like, yeah, you know, like each game, you know, ties into the series and has all your choices, but there's very much that distinct sort of arc of your main mission. And, you know, I think that's just for any sci-fi fan, you know, if anybody out there still hasn't really gotten into Mass Effect and they're a sci-fi fan, I think they need to. I think it's a staple, to be quite honest.
No, yeah, I watched, I think, every episode of Next Generation when I was a kid, and still think of it quite fondly. And Deep Space Nine too, but I don't think I haven't done much of the. I don't think I ever watched Voyager, but Deep Space Nine and Next Generation I watched religiously when I was young.
but Voyager is close to me because I love Captain Janeway, but I think that there's a difference in quality of writing is all I'll say. I mean, there's lots of debate about it, but sure. After watching Deep Space Nine and its final arc, I was like, ooh, okay, yeah, that had a lot of, a little more meat to its bones, but
oh, yeah.
Either way, I think Voyager is kind of the fun sort of like, don't take it too seriously Trek.
Yeah, I need to go back. I need to watch a lot of, there's so much that I miss, you know?
Yeah.
So much good sci-fi.
I was going to say, I'll put Lexi on blast and say to the world that I know, for example, she likes Voyager so much that she downloaded a mod for Mass Effect 3 that put people like in the Alliance building, like in the uniforms of the Voyager crew.
Oh, nice.
It was like just a red version of the Alliance blue dress blues, because I made like a femship to try and look like Janeway. I tried. The CC in that game is a little tricky to work with.
Yeah, no, look, it's just further like a further example of just how amazing, and I'm not being facetious, like how amazing this community is with the mods that exist for PC, and just, you Absolutely. Know, just like the camaraderie of I mentioned Ash does not know my friend Tristan, but Tristan is a member of my community. I actually used to work with him. And he played Mass Effect for the first time through the Legendary Edition, and just having DMs with him, and like even he would like message me. We still work together, but in different offices. He'd message me while working, like, "So I'm going home to play Mass Effect. I love Tally; she's the best girl." And I'd be like, "No, Liara is, but I'm glad that you're happy." and so, like, it was so. And I said this a little bit before, but it was so heartwarming to just like be like friends and like know somebody who's experiencing it for the first time.
And yeah, so that, that is very special.
Yeah, it says a lot just about how open the community is. I do want to circle back around and just say that we also want Yvonne to come on, and I know that that's probably far fetched because for your panel, of course, like that's what I would love to see Yvonne in that panel, but it is unfortunate that I think she just has, rightly so, just a crappy taste in her mouth.
I don't think it's impossible though. I think it just, it's all about, and when, after booking guests for years and years, it's just sort of being at the right place at the right time.
I totally.
And making sure that that your guests know that they're going to be comfortable. And I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Knowing that they're going to be safe and they're not going to come off sounding badly, and that they're going to have fun for an hour, and they won't have to do too much or worry too much. Sure. If you can somehow convey that to her, then I think it's golden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know Lexi had mentioned that a lot of that situation, and I always say this actress's last name wrong. She shares your name. Is it Ash Shroka? Is that how you say her last name?
Yeah, Shroka, yeah.
So I think, and you may know better than me, I think she also had a similar experience because people, I think, over-sexualized Tally as well. Mm-hmm. And so it was really nice to see her on your most recent panel because I know she doesn't do them a lot. So it was really nice to see her too.
Yeah, that came up about probably the question I saw the most was, where's Tally? When are you going to get Tally? And yeah. I think the latest one was the third Mass Effect reunion that I had helped produce and moderated. And so my mission was sort of to get Ash back in the group. And it really, I may have made it sound on Twitter like it was an impossible thing to do, but I had her email address from a really long time ago. And I reached out and I let her know all the people that were on board and, you know, showed her links to the old stuff. And she was super cool. And she came back and now she's been doing signings and stuff. And I think she, not to speak for her, but I think she ended up having a really good time.
That's good.
And I think hopefully she'll be back in the future. So
yeah.
So she had a good time, I think. I'm pretty sure.
Sure. It seemed like she did. And, you know, I realize that actors are actors. You know, my dad is a video producer. He has an Emmy award winning production company. Shout out to my dad. And so he, here in the Tampa area, and he, from a very young age, he like ruined celebrities for me. Right. He was like, you know, I'd be like, Dad, my favorite celebrity is on this talk show. And he's like, they're just acting, you know, they're on this talk show. And I realized that based on what you're saying, actors who you have, many of them on the panel are not just acting. They're like really pleasant, phenomenal people. Mm-hmm. But from what I could tell, as somebody who has to like watch interviews through that perspective now, it did actually seem like Ash was having a genuinely really nice time. So kudos to you for, again, like forming that like, this sounds like so cliche, but like a safe space. Just send that to Yvonne and be like, see, she did it. It's fine.
Yeah, I know. I'll work on it. If I get to do the next one, I'm giving the thumbs up that I'm going to work on it because that would be fun to have her on.
Yeah. And
and I mean, she's done so much since then too. Yeah. Like her role in The Handmaid's Tale, I binged it all because I got addicted and I'm like, it's phenomenal. And, you know, and for me, that show is filmed locally to me. So I'm like, damn, Yvonne Strahovski's been near me. That's cool. But, you know, it's really great. I mean, heavy subject matter, mm-hmm. but phenomenally acted character for Yvonne. So, you know, it'd be neat to catch up, I think.
Yeah, I have yet to see it, but I need to put it on the list.
It's good. Don't let your 5-year-old son see it.
No.
Yeah. But and this, well, to tie the bow on the Yvonne topic, because Lexi and I could talk about Yvonne for about 10 years. I think for Lexi and I personally and many other fans, and it sounds like yourself too, like I think that we just want Yvonne to know that there are more respectful, like good Mass Effect fans who are like happy they took out those extraneous scenes of her anatomy, and like it's Miranda is not just that for so many people. Right. She's so much more. Right. And like, that's what Lexi and I tweet at her. We're like, this is all we want you to know. Like, please, we just want you to know that there are women and men all over the place who like look at Miranda's story and see how important it is. And it's not just like sex people see, you know?
Yeah. I have a quick funny anecdote. Sure. I remember talking to Courtney Taylor, about the scene with, and you guys probably know it very well, the scene with Jack and Miranda, and she says, I'm going to smear the walls with you, bitch. And there's this great showdown between the two characters. And I remember the first time I was playing through that scene, not knowing what I was going to choose to do, because I loved both of those characters so much. at the, and I was like, oh God, who the hell do I side with? What do I do here? I can't even remember what decision I made at this point, but I just remember talking to Courtney about it and being like, it was so well written and there was so much tension and so well acted. I mean, both of them are such fantastic actors. And that's one thing I think the Mass Effect cast does get credit for is I feel like it was right at the right time where people finally started noticing who was playing characters in games and started giving them a little bit of credit and really attaching value to their performance. And now it's like, you know, it's a big deal in games, who's acting in which role, if it's union or non-union and, you know, who's doing what it's, you know, and of course, you know, Critical Role's helped a lot and it's helped, you know, expose the popularity of voice actors has exploded. I think largely in part to that show, but you know, I think Mass Effect, all the performances are so great, and it was so fantastic to see all those actors land, you know, many roles after those roles.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I think the other thing is that a lot of people don't realize is like when they're recording these lines, they're not like necessarily with the other person. Like they're in a booth.
Right.
You know, they're not necessarily like going back and forth with each other. They're just recording these lines and told with the direction and what they need, you know, where this line is being used. And so I think that's, you know, another thing to add to the talent that requires, because you're just reading lines off of paper, but you know, you're trying to imagine the scene in your head and make it sound authentic. And that always blows my mind. I remember, again, going back to Alex, I remember there was like a little video that was actually pretty funny when she was recording for the Inquisitor and they had her do real spit takes.
Yes, I remember the spit take video.
And I just thought, you know, that's just a silly little glimpse into it. But
in the days of COVID, that wouldn't fly.
That would not be good. Yeah, that would not go. She'd be a home studio doing it.
Yeah.
Have to do it and like standing in the shower so you don't get water everywhere.
Remember when y'all just used to spit on each other and spit on candles
or blow out birthday candles,
wet willies. Yeah.
Oh.
Sadly, those days are over.
They are.
Yeah.
They are.
You know, that at least, you know, with all that, you can manage to connect to people and, you know, like come on a podcast over Discord or, you know, host a panel over Zoom. You know, I'm so glad that we do have those technologies available to us because it makes some pretty fantastic things possible, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everything right now, you know, everything's remote. And thank God the tech works, or else we would have been really, had this pandemic happened 10 years ago, we would have all been really hosed. Productivity across the board would have just been shot. So,
yeah, I'm for sure. If you're going to find a silver lining, that is one of them for sure.
Absolutely.
About this pandemic. Right. Ash, thank you for talking about all of the things.
You're
so insightful.
Absolutely.
truly, like I'm trying to sound like profound, but I'm just really in awe. Like, you know, I was going to make some funny joke about how like you, now I'm only 1 degree of separation away, but I've met Allie Hillis and Kimberly Brooks. So like I'm 0 degrees. Like I've
there
met
you
them.
Go.
So yeah, I can't make the so joke, good. But now Lexi is, I've met Kimberly Brooks.
Yeah,
so you were already one degree away.
Well, yeah, and also I actually have an autograph from Kimberly Brooks,
yes.
Who I didn't get to meet her in person, but because, you know, all these conventions that they all go to are in the States, and that's kind of expensive even before, you know, travel restrictions are in place. But, you know, even back in the day when I was younger, didn't have as much money as I do now. So I had a dear friend of mine, again, another person I met, you know, through Mass Effect fandom, who so kindly got an autograph from Kimberly. And this was at the point where I was just kind of getting into cosplay. And, you know, I'm a bigger set person. So, you know, it's kind of hard when you see all these thinner people who are fitting into their costumes great. But I actually got a reassurance about my where she wrote, you know, after she wrote her little message to me, hoping to meet me someday, where she wrote, "Go cosplay." And this was just before or just after she did, I think it was just after, where her and Caden's face model, model, I guess. I can't remember his name. I can see his face, obviously. but they both got dressed up you know, in armor for Ash and Caden and did a few panels here and there, I think. So that was just really inspiring to see that.
I remember that. That was actually really fantastic. The girl that put that together, her name's Carissa, who's a longtime BioWare community member and just an awesome human being, but she put that together and it was crazy to see all of them dress up as their characters. I think there are a few more too. At this point it was almost 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was definitely I believe Rana McNear, who is the face for Samara. I definitely think they had her in makeup. I know Mark Meer cosplays for sure.
He just did last weekend at Dragon Con.
And I'm like, I maybe Fane's actor whose name is escaping me.
Keith, I think.
And I feel like there's one more, but I'm not entirely sure. But I just remember being able to see that and just being like, that's awesome. And then my friend got me this surprise autograph and shipped it to me, and I got it and I opened it and I cried. Like,
that's very cool.
And I still have it here on my desk. So it's you know, it's just great to see that interaction and inspiration too. So slight degrees of separation now, but you know.
The community is very small. Honestly, it's very small. So it's like, you know, once you start talking to people, there will be 0 degrees of separation across the board.
it's really cool, and we are so appreciative that you agreed to join, and I hope that we can connect. If I'm ever in Orlando, I'll creepily message you.
Yeah,
and
be like, hey, I'm in Orlando.
If you're ever in Tampa, feel free.
It's
a well, you know, hopefully post COVID, but if that ever happens, which cool. would be good if it did. But yeah, so as we end here, can you? I know you kind of said already what you're doing, but can you just let people know how they and we can be sure to support you to the best of our ability?
Oh, sure. So my Twitter handle is still at NerdAppropriate, which was the website I helped run and co-produce. And that has become my personal Twitter handle for now. So go to at NerdAppropriate on Twitter and you can follow me there. Cool thing that I'm doing sort of on the side is I produced this sort of radio play pilot script. It sounds like really ridiculous, but it's called Sunnydale, and it was a two-part pilot that I wrote during the pandemic. It's like monster story, but I got like some of my favorite voice actors to perform it, and we performed it for charity. We did it for adoptaclassroom.org. You can still go to sunnydaleav.com and check out the site, and then there's links to where you can actually watch the performance. And it's got Jennifer Hale in it, who I got to read stuff that I wrote, which is nuts.
Oh, that's amazing.
Jennifer Hale, Mark Meer, Alex Wilton Regan, Sissy Jones, Ryan Colt Levy, Brianna White from Final Fantasy, Anna Brisbane, who's Brizzy Voices, Dan Hutton from Life is Strange. I mean, the cast is like my dream cast that I was somehow able to like convince to do this silly story. So please go check that out, sunnydaleav.com, and check it out. You can watch the whole performance on YouTube now. And we're supposed to be producing like another couple episodes, but I'm like woefully behind because writing like 120 pages worth of stuff takes a little while for me. So I'm behind on that. And other than that, the games I'm working on now, I'm working on a title called Battleship Apollo, which actually just launched yesterday. It's iOS, PC, and Android. It's a space RTS. Some of the BioWare guys helped build it, and it's super fun if you like real-time strategy titles. We'll see what else. That's it. Other than that, I'm just working, being a dad, probably going to start another podcast again one of these days, playing video games, having fun, and that's it.
Awesome. I will make sure that I post a version of our podcast here on YouTube, and when I do that, I'll be sure to link to the Sunnydale down below as well, so people can access it there. Yeah, no problem. But yeah, so thank you so much. This was a blast, and I This is great. I appreciate you very much.
Yeah, this is awesome.
Absolutely.
And
anytime, I'm anytime. Glad, absolutely.
That you were able to. And I, you know, I don't even remember when I first started following you on Twitter, but it's been a long, like, I don't even remember when. I'm just like, I've been following you for like the longest time. So it's cool
I'm
to
sorry.
Finally, like, oh no, it's cool to like finally reach out, you know, to the person that organizes these cool things.
Oh,
so
thanks. Yeah. As I've gotten older, my Twitter feed has become, what's everybody playing right now? I need a new video game. What's everyone watching right now? I don't know what's going on anymore. Like, I'm so out of the loop. I'm like busy packing lunches and like doing dad stuff. But
dad stuff, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's my Twitter feed these days. So it's not the most exciting place, but closer to events, it gets a little action packed.
Awesome. All right. Well,
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. You heard the man. Go follow him on Twitter.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it.
If you liked this podcast, please rate, like, and comment on your platform of choice. To show further support, you can follow us on Twitch, Twitter, and subscribe to our channels on YouTube. Everything discussed today will be archived on the Broker's Terminal. After all the Galaxy secrets are at the Shadow Broker's fingertips.